Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. I'm super excited. We're talking about praying boldly. My name is Josh Lester. I have been a part of River City for many years, few decades. And River City, you sent my family and I, you sent us out to plant ministry, plant the gospel in Asotin. And so we've been doing that full time since April of this last year. And so it's great to be here. We are super excited because we have found that prayer is the foundation, the beginning of everything. It's what really connects us with what God is doing so that we can be a part of His glorious outcome wherever that is. And for us, it's been in Asotin, just seeing transformation happen in people's lives. And as we continue to pray, believing for that community, for transformation to occur, it's a big experiment for us, but we've been enjoying it so much. I want to get into talking about that prayer and really not just getting into the normal discussion of prayer, but what does it really mean to be bold in our prayers or to pray boldly? One of the things I want to say first is praying boldly doesn't necessarily mean praying louder. It doesn't necessarily mean praying on the street corner or in front of a big crowd of people. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, laying hands on your waitress in the restaurant and casting out a demon or praying for a miracle to take place. Now, if God tells you to do any one of those things, I would advise you to be obedient to that. And that would be fantastic to see the miracle working power of God work in those situations. But it doesn't necessarily mean that per se, to be bold in our prayers, even though every one of those circumstances may require boldness. To pray boldly really is to find yourself in a heart position, in a posture of surrender, where you are praying the intention of God and really willing to walk that intention out in your prayers, no matter the cost. That is a bold prayer. We think about those bold prayers like Isaiah. Think about the first chapter of Isaiah. God is saying, "Who can I send?" And Isaiah raises his hand and he says, "God, here I am, send me." It's like Isaiah signed the contract and then handed it back to God and said, "Yeah, fill in the details, whatever you like, I'm going to do it." Now that is praying boldly. That's where the heart posture is for those who pray bold prayers. Think about Mary. We just got through the Christmas season. Mary was in that same place. The angel comes to Mary, and at the end of that conversation, Mary says, "God, whatever you want from me, let it be. Let it happen." That's bold. Jesus was the same. Jesus says this famously. He says, "Not my will be done, but your will be done." All right? Those are prayers that lead with boldness, that lead us into a place where we can't do this on our own. It's going to have to be God showing up to lead us through that, and that's what we call bold prayer. As we talk about bold prayers, we're going to focus in on Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at the passage, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, and see what Paul teaches us here. In this part of Ephesians, we find it's right in this middle junction of Ephesians, where Paul is taking, like he does in a lot of his letters, he's taken the first few chapters, and he's really laid out the mystery of God. He's talking about our identity and our oneness with Christ, us in Christ and Christ in us, all these crazy things that are mysterious to us still. He's talking about the mysteries of God, and then he makes this transition, and he begins to teach us how to apply it practically in our lives. And this prayer in chapter 3 is like right that hinge point of that transition, that we find ourselves going from this mysterious wonder of being in Christ to what's it look like to live out Christ in me and me in Christ. And so this prayer is centered there. Not only does Paul pray a bold prayer that we're going to see in this passage, but in the prayer, he's actually showing us what it looks like to be those who pray boldly, that we can actually pray this prayer and pray in the heart of this prayer and be those who pray with boldness. Paul is apostolic in this prayer, meaning that there's an anointing in this prayer to be sending people into the primary purpose that God has for them. It's a transformational prayer. You can't pray this prayer and be the same. And so I encourage you, just as it's written, you can pray this passage in Ephesians chapter 3. You can pray it over yourself, over your children, your family, your neighbors. You know, it's got that apostolic anointing to cover a region and bring transformation within a place. So let's dig in. This is Ephesians chapter 3. starting with verse 14. It says this, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father." Now, what is all this that he's thinking of? What is he reminiscing on? Well, that would be chapter 1 through the first half of chapter 3. So I encourage you to go back and read that and understand what he's thinking about as he thinks of all this and falls to his knees to pray. "I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen." I don't know. I read that and I've read it several times recently. And I get excited because of that prayer. I get excited every time I read that. And that's going to lead us to the beginning of this. What does it look like to pray boldly? How do we establish boldness in our prayers? And the first thing is right there in verse 16. It says, "I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit." God's glorious unlimited resources. We have to start from that point to understand that when we're praying, we're not praying from a good idea that we came up with. We're not praying from this human strength to like force God's hand into making something happen, right? We're praying from this place of resource, God's unlimited resources, the riches of his glory to flow and are flowing into us. The Spirit of God living in us, the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. It's that power at work in us. It's the same God who created everything, the heavens and the earth, the entire cosmos, and he holds it in his hands, and it's the resources he has available to do that, and he gives the access to us. So when we pray, we're not praying sheepishly. We're not praying with intimidation in mind, right? We're not praying out of reaction to the chaos around us. We're praying knowing that all the resources of God in who God is, all those resources are available now to us. And not just available to us, it's the Spirit of God working in us the availability of those resources. Like I find, like blows my mind. It's just crazy to me to think that God is making all of himself available to us so that we can live this life in a place of confidence, boldness, assurance that when I pray the will of God, when I pray God's best intention, there is maximum resource available to make that happen. Unlimited resource. Wow. I can't help but think that maybe we've been praying too small. Maybe we've been praying, God, it'd be great if I didn't have this headache. Sure, that would be great, and God hears that prayer, and he loves us, and I hope he's taking away the headache every time you pray that. But let's think about something bigger. Let's think about something that has a little more transformational power behind it that brings about the resources of God into our reality. That's what Paul's praying. That's what Paul is teaching us to pray. And the Spirit of God is already in all of us who believe in Christ Jesus, who have come into Christ. His Spirit is in us. And all of those resources are now ready, accessible. Peter reminds us in chapter 2, in Peter chapter 2, sorry, 2 Peter chapter 2, he reminds us that we've been given all things for life and godliness. To live a godly life, it's already available. It's the divine nature of God that we have dwelling within us, that we are partnering with his resources. I'd love for you just to take a moment and imagine what God cannot do. Man, that didn't take very long. That wasn't very hard. God can do anything. God is so available to do anything, and His resources are available to us. And so as we pray, as Paul prays, and we mimic that prayer and that faith, remembering that it's through God's glorious, unlimited resources that we pray, that it's that power at work in us. Now, that word power in that verse in the Greek is the word dunamis. And maybe we've heard this before, but it's where we derive the word dynamite. That's where we get dynamite from. It's this dynamite, miracle-working power. But the other thing about this power, to understand it, is potential power. That means it's not always exploding. Even though it's dynamite power, it doesn't explode always. If you've seen dynamite before, which I've never held a stick of dynamite, but I've seen cartoons, Roadrunner, Bugs Bunny, those things. And you see that there's a fuse on the dynamite stick, and you light the fuse, and it burns, and then the explosion occurs. It's potential power, but something has to ignite that power. Something has to light the fuse. The power is within us. We need to trust in the one who will ignite that fuse. Let's move on, because understanding that we have this glory and limited resources is number one. Number two is God's fullness. Now, it's going to sound a little redundant, but let's dig into what the scripture says. Going to verse 17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. How do we experience the fullness of God? It's actually this idea of continually being filled up to complete fullness of God. He created us that we could experience being filled up to the complete fullness of God in our inner man, in our spirit. Like, again, is this blowing my mind? This is possible when we're rooted in His love. It's actually the work of His love in us that gives us that capacity to function or to be filled to complete fullness of God. God is love. It's us understanding His love, not in an intellectual way. It's us, He says, it's too great to understand. Though we should understand it, we can't understand it. But could we at least experience it? Could it be tangible to us? Could we understand love by feeling it? By coming to a place where our experience, it just looks different because we've experienced the love of God, right? Our circumstance, it has a different element to it because we've experienced the love of God. It becomes so tangible that you see people differently, that you see your trials as opportunities for learning and victory. That we see that though we have suffering, we also are seated with Christ in heavenly places. This is what happens when we experience the love of God. It has a transforming power within us. I've said it before, maybe you've heard me say it, maybe you've heard it other places. Love equals obedience. This is why those who pray boldly, they're not just in their prayer closet praying out the desires of God. That's a good place to start. But what happens is when you are praying out the desires of God and you're accessing those unlimited, glorious riches of heaven, the love of God begins to work in you. You become rooted in it and transformed by it, and you can't stay within your prayer closet. All of a sudden, your love, the love for God, leads to action. So our prayer, when we're praying bold prayers, just like Isaiah, he says, here am I, send me. It leads to a going and doing what God is doing, joining in Him, joining with Him in what He's doing. That is the work of love in our life. Love equals obedience. It's always that case. Jesus repeated Himself over and over in John 14 and 15 and 16. Love equals obedience. That is how we see the fullness of God maturing in our lives, is rooting ourselves in love and walking that out in obedience to love, serve, and bless others. That is the work of the Spirit within us. That is that power, that is potential power, and it becomes active power when our obedience, our love, lights that fuse, and then it explodes all around, right? This is the love of God. This is where we see the fullness of God filled up in our lives when we understand and experience His love. The thing about obedience, it always costs something. But obedience is always better than the sacrifice. That's what love looks like. That's what Jesus demonstrated for us, even on the cross. Love equals obedience. And it's always more fruitful, more fulfilling than anything we have to sacrifice in order to obey. That's where the fullness of God is matured in our lives. That's when we find that our boldness enriches again and again and again. And we begin to pray and live in that place of boldness. The third thing is this, to understand it's God's mighty power. Right? When we come into this place of praying bold prayers, we understand we have His resources. We understand that we are rooted in His love and growing in this fullness of God in us. We understand that it's His power at work within us. And that's what it says right there in the next verse. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And this is where it says, now all the glory to God who is able, through His mighty power, that's that dunamis power again, at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Now, our security is in His resources. Our strength is in His fullness in us, right? Our confidence is in this place where it's His power working, not our power. It's God. He's the one doing all the heavy lifting. His invitation, He invites us into joining Him in what He's doing, but then He does it. It's His miracle working power that is happening. That's why our prayers don't have to be weak or meager. Our prayers can be bold and just confident in all that we say or pray, knowing that when we're rooted in His love, His power is at work within us. And He can't be stopped. God cannot be stopped. It's the lighting of that fuse, igniting that dunamis power, that potential power, and that explosion that takes place. Miracles happening in us, miracles happening around us. This is those who live a life of praying bold prayers. Living that life of praying bold prayers. Last one is this, and it's super important when we think about praying bold prayers. We have His resources available. He is working His love in us that we would be the fullness of Christ in maturity. We know it's His power and not ours. That's that posture of humility. And as that posture of humility carries us into that place of the fourth one, which is for God's glory. That the motive of our heart would be that His power would be at work in us. His power would be at work through us so that He would receive the glory. That our prayers would be motivated for His glory. We find that often we get ourselves in these places where fear begins to motivate us. And there's this constant battle between fear and love, whether we're being motivated by fear or motivated by love. Paul reminds Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says that you've not been given a spirit of fear or intimidation, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind or self-discipline. So when we find ourselves being led, being motivated by fear, our motive gets misaligned with the will of God, the desires, or His primary intention. James warned us of this too. In fact, he says in James 4:3, he tells us that we are not getting the answers to our prayers because our motives are wrong. We're misaligned with the intention of God. And that fear's purpose does that. Think about that, the fear of failure, the fear of what other people think of us, right? The fear of lack, that idea of scarcity, the fear of the unknown. Often those are the motivations for us to pray. And when we're praying out of that motivation, we begin to pray self-preservation prayers. Instead of praying boldly to see God transform our reality into His reality, we begin to pray self-preservation prayers that are just like, I'm just trying to survive here. Now again, God loves us more than we will ever understand. We just read that. He loves us and He hears our prayers. Now it doesn't mean He answers all those prayers, but He hears us and He doesn't leave us or abandon us even when our motives are wrong. But when our motives are aligned with His, when we find ourselves secure in His resources, we don't have to worry about lack. We don't have to fear scarcity, right? When we find ourselves aligned with His love and that fullness, that we are valued because of His love for us, not because of what other people think. We don't have to walk in shame any longer, because failure, yes, will happen, but He is already there to catch us and to lift us up. He loves us that much. The spirit of fear will try to pull you offline so that you pray self-preservation prayers instead of praying prayers of boldness for transformation. What does a self-preservation prayer look like? It's simple. It would fall into one of these three categories most of the time. Comfort, right? You feel uncomfortable, so you pray for comfort. Convenience, you would just like this to be a lot easier. Life is hard. I would like it to be easier, so I just want convenience, right? Or safety. This looks a little risky. I'm going to pray that I'd be safe. I look through Scripture, and I just haven't found Jesus giving a guarantee for any one of those three things. Comfort, convenience, or safety. So when you find yourself praying, ask yourself, is this a prayer that is for self-preservation, that I might survive? Or is this a prayer that is bold, that would bring about transformation, God's reality in my circumstance? He'll tell you. The Holy Spirit will let you know if that is a survival prayer or if that is a transformation prayer. A self-preservation prayer or a transformation prayer. We want to be those who are aligned with God. We want to be those whose motives are to bring God glory. As He transforms us and the world around us, He's glorified. The more His reality is seen in our space, He gets more glory. That's what it looks like. And so our prayers motivated in boldness in order that He would receive the glory. Because if we're only praying those things that protect us, that lift us up, that secure us, then the glory doesn't fall on God. It falls back on us. And you hear it when you tell your story of how God answered or didn't answer that prayer. So I want to encourage us in this boldness of prayer, that we would find ourselves motivated and rooted in His love, that He would receive the glory for the answer of each and every prayer as His miraculous power is working in us and through us, that we would be those who continually access the resources of God and live in His fullness, continually filled, complete to His fullness, because we're rooted in the fullness of His love. You can pray this prayer in Ephesians. You can pray it for yourself. You can pray it for your family. You can pray it for your community. But don't just pray it. Be bold in your prayer and look for the opportunities that God calls you out of your prayer closet and into obedience to join Him in what He's doing in the world around you. Let's pray. God, we ask even now, Lord, thinking of this prayer that Paul wrote so many years ago, Lord, we ask now that You would remind us of Your glorious unlimited resources, that You would root us in Your love, that we would find ourselves redefined by the experience of Your love in our lives, that we would know the fullness of God and the power at work within us, that it would be ignited to be dynamite power, to see miracles bursting forth within us and around us. Lord, that You would be glorified in our lives, You'd be glorified in our community, that there would be a transformation that would take place and we wouldn't be the same. We thank You, Jesus, that You are at work even now. In Your name we pray. Amen.